resulting in a triangular-shaped 69-carat gem the size, for people that don't know diamonds, like myself, that's the size of a pigeon's egg. It is the size of the government's watchdogs. Just kidding. I don't know if that's... I just wanted to give into that conspiracy because I think it's fucking funny. But, yes, it is the size of a government watchdog's eggs.
Welcome back to the Rainy Day Horror Show. I'm Big Daddy D, and you are listening to the number one podcast on the internet. And on today's beautiful little episode, Dusty is going to be talking about a cursed gem, the Hope Diamond. There's going to be a lot of death, a lot of tragedy, and a whole lot of cursing. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce your host for this evening's show, Dusty Migballs, a.k.a. the Certified Cougar Hunter, and your host with the most. Now sit back, shut up, and enjoy this episode.
Thank you, Big D, for that beautiful intro. And yes, like he said, today we are doing an episode on the Hope Diamond. All right. Now, this is going to be a long episode. Well, it's a long topic, so I ended up chopping it in half. And, you know, the part two is coming out next week. So, just because there is so much fucking shit with this fucking diamond, because it has been in existence for like years, millennia, hundreds, centuries. Okay, I don't know, but you get what I mean. It's been around for a very, very long time. So I decided to break it up into two episodes. Also, still kind of nasally, all right? So I'm going to be breathing through my mouth hole quite often throughout this episode, so I apologize if that sounds annoying. Okay, I'm gonna try and cut it out in post-production as much as I can, but obviously there's gonna be some that I may or may not miss. So, without further ado, we're gonna jump into this episode on the Hope Diamond. But first off, I got to take a drink. I got the Coke Diet. The Diet Coke for today's drink of choice. Listen, I don't usually drink Diet Pop a whole lot, but Gabby gave it to me yesterday when I was over at her place, so I was like, fine, fuck it, I'll take it. I don't like Diet, but I'll fucking drink it. I'm sorry, she likes Diet Coke. She's a fucking weirdo, I know. We know this, okay? But she gave me a Diet Coke, so I will not complain. But we're going to jump into this episode right now. So sit back, relax. Let's just kind of escape for like 30 to 45 minutes here and then get back to the fucking workday. It's Friday. The day's almost fucking over. So let's do this. Now, the Hope Diamond is one of the most famous jewels
basically on this planet. And it has a history dating all the way back for almost 4 fucking centuries. But this beautiful 45.52 blue diamond is also said to be cursed, and it brings all sorts of misfortune and tragedy to whoever owns it, whoever comes in contact with this diamond. Now, even though this diamond is real, the story behind it is somewhat of an urban legend, which makes this story even more crazy. Just the history behind this diamond. It is insane on how many, like, famous people have come into contact with this diamond. The Hope Diamond is said to have originated from India, where it was more than likely discovered in the Kolar mine in Golconda during the early 1600s. After the Hope Diamond was first found, it showed no signs of bad luck or misfortune. And, well, I guess I should say that I physically could not find any records of misfortune or tragedy in this diamond's early stages of life. But from what I could find is that it started becoming this pissed off little rock once it was sold to a French gem merchant, Jean-Baptiste Tavernier. Now, at the time, Jean was making a series of 6 voyages. He first started off in France, then went to Persia, and then he finally ended up in India. Now, the reason Jean took this voyage was so that he could trade other precious stones for other high-end clothing items. And at some point along his voyage, specifically between the years of 1640 and 1657, he obtained a 115-carat stone, which, just to put it like in perspective for you like non-diamond people like myself, that's nearly the size of a whole man's fist. The average dude's fucking bare-knuckled fist just clenched together like a tight anus. That's the fucking size of this rock. That is fucking massive. I wonder how much it weighed. It didn't say how much. I couldn't find the weight of it at this point, but like, that's gotta weigh a pretty decent amount, okay? For a fucking stone that massive, that has to weigh quite a bit. Now, this stone was in the shape of a triangle. It was crudely cut and described by Jean as a beautiful violet. Now, on this voyage, Jean documented his whereabouts on his voyage. But, well, okay, let me backtrack. He documented his whereabouts and, like, the things that he has collected over the years from this trip, right? But for some reason, for some odd reason, he didn't write down the who, what, when, or where, or even like when he obtained this large blue diamond, which makes this story even crazier. It doesn't really have like an origin story. There's theories on where it came from, and we're going to cover that here in a second, but there is no like cut and dry thing. Well, I should not think, but like no cut and dry origin story when it comes to this diamond, this rock. Some historians that have studied this diamond suggest that Jean stole the diamond from a Hindu temple where it was set as one of two matching eyes on an idol. And afterward, the temple priests laid a curse on whoever might possess the missing stone. But like I said earlier, there is no concrete evidence suggesting that Jean stole the diamond. Okay? It's just, this whole thing is weird because this diamond is real, but it's still almost like the whole story behind it is just like almost a crazy urban legend. And that's what really kind of intrigued me about this rock, that obviously, well, okay, maybe they did have an origin story to this rock. Maybe there is the stories out there, but maybe the records on it or whatever just got destroyed, and now we don't know what the fuck, like, how this rock came to reality, basically, right? Maybe there is an origin story, and, like, you know, the record's just gone, right? But this thing is so fucking wild. And it's going to get crazy throughout this episode because at one point, I'm just going to start rattling off the people that have came into contact with it and just fucking died. Like, this thing is fucking insane. Now, after Jean bought the Hope Diamond, or quote-unquote stole it, it was given the name the Tavernier Blue. And upon purchasing or stealing this diamond, he then headed back to Paris for his final voyage in 1668. And within that same year, Jean ended up selling the large blue diamond to French King Louis XIV, along with 14 other large, massive fucking diamonds and several smaller ones, which ended up giving Jean a very large lump or sum of money and great reputation at his home, at his hometown. This dude was balling out. He was popular. He was a cool dude. He was that Jacques, right? He was the Jacques on the varsity football team that had a D1 scholarship to LSU, right? Is that a good college football team? You know what? We'll say Oklahoma. They're a good college team. Oklahoma Sooners. I mean, they were, last time I checked, 3 fucking years ago. I don't know if that's still true or not, but he was that dude. He was a popular motherfucker in his town. He also received patents of nobility in 1669. LOL, 69. And in the following year, he purchased a large estate near Geneva, Switzerland, where Jean spent the rest of his days writing and publishing accounts of his journeys. Jean Tavernier lived a comfortable life until his death in July of 1689 at the age of 84, which is kind of surprising because I don't think a whole lot of people lived back in those days till 84, right? Right? Is that a thing? I don't think the life expectancy was good back then. So to get to 84, that's like probably live until like 150 in today's time. That's fucking impressive. That's fucking impeccable. Immaculate, right? This is just fucking insane. And that closes off our intro to this little diamond, right? We're off to a good start. No death. No tragedy. The first guy to historically come in contact with his little fucking diamond, right? Nothing bad happened. Easy breezy. Vaginas make me queasy, right? We're good. We're great. We're outstanding. Okay? But I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but it goes all downhill from here on out. This episode is about to take a fucking shit turn, right down shit lane to a fucking asshole, okay? It's just gonna get fucked up, okay? He is the only one that I can say from my memory that he's lucky, that he's the lucky one. He is the one that got away, because it's going downhill first. Or not first, but it's going downhill from here on out. Now, after Jean gave the Hope, the Blue Diamond, to King Louis the 14th, yes, he commissioned, King Louis commissioned a court jeweler, Jean Petau, to recut the Tavernier blue to a quote unquote make him a piece to remember in 1673. And what little Jean Petau did is he took the very large diamond and then he cut it almost in half, resulting in a 69 carat stone. There that number is again, people. 69. Right? 60 fucking 9. We love that number. It's our favorite number over here, okay? It is. Don't get mad at me. All right? I'm a little raunchy, but, you know, 69. If you haven't tried it out, kids, try it out. It's good. Now, the royal inventors around King Louis described its color as an intense steely blue, and the stone became known as the Blue Diamond of the Crown or the French Blue, which I'm kind of just putting two and two together right now. So listen, for a lot of people that don't know me, right, and you only, you know, you tune in every week just to hear me talk about some bullshit, right? I used to be a huge sneakerhead. Still kind of am, but like I haven't bought any. Like I'll peep the sneaker game every once in a while, right? But like French Blue, for people that don't know, there are Jordans out there that are nicknamed the French Blues, which are basically, I'm going to tell you one right now. There's a Jordan 12. It's a white upper and it's got a blue lower, right? French Blue Air Jordan 12s, okay? Whenever I see French Blue, that shit pops into my head and I wonder if this is where it came from. I'm going to assume that it, you know, it is, but I just kind of put two and two together, which is kind of interesting. Now, when Petau was recutting this diamond, he spent 2 years, almost two full fucking years on this piece, resulting in a triangular shaped 69 carat gem, the size, for people that don't know diamonds like myself, that's the size of a pigeon's egg. It is the size of the government's watchdogs. Just kidding. I don't know if that's, I just wanted to give into that conspiracy because I think it's fucking funny. But yes, it is the size of a government watchdog's eggs. Egg, not eggs. Well, maybe they lay more than one. I don't know. I've never seen a fucking pigeon lay an egg. Don't get mad at me. And allegedly, when this diamond was cut, it would take your breath away because it would snare the light and it would reflect it into bluish gray rays. Just a beautiful fucking diamond. And when this diamond was complete and fully fucking cut, the diamond was set in a gold cravat pin that received additional support from a ribbon worn around the neck, which the king wore on ceremonial, only ceremonial occasions. Now, whether he was affected by the curse, this is alleged. I just want to say, whenever somebody's getting affected by this curse, it's alleged, all right? It is all alleged. It could have been you know, it physically could have been the diamond, giving off bad luck. Or it could have just been, you know, that was their fate no matter what. Doesn't even care about the fucking diamond. You know, fuck that diamond, right? But who knows? I don't, okay? I'm sorry. I don't have the answers. I'm just relaying a message and putting it in story form for you guys. Now, King Louis suffered, allegedly, from this diamond. All of his legitimate children, but one, died in childhood, which is crazy. And he also tried to project an image of a wealthy and viral king. He suffered several ailments in his lifetime. A lot of sickness was brought into his world, including symptoms of diabetes, reoccurring boils, fainting spells, gout, dizziness, hot flushes, headaches, and he underwent a very painful operation. However, his reign of 72 years and 110 days is the longest recorded fucking ruling of any monarch of a sovereign country in European history. Round of applause for King Louis XIV. Stu deserves an award. Good fucking job, King Louis. Good fucking job. Now, during his, you know, long reign, France was leading in European power. They fought in three major wars and two lesser conflicts. He eventually died of gangrene 4 days before his 77th birthday. Upon his death in 1715, his title and estate, including the blue diamond, was inherited by his 5-year-old great-grandson, King Louis XV. Now, he did have some reoccurring things with this fucking diamond when he was holding on to it, right? France didn't suffer. He didn't really financially suffer, but he was, like, physically suffering. It took more of a toll on his physical body with being sick, right? With all that illness, with all of his children but one dying in childhood, right? And it's not like they were illegitimate, you know, births. So, you can't be like, oh, the universe said, you know, if you don't love Jesus, your fucking babies are dead if you have a child before getting married, right? It wasn't that situation, okay? Universe didn't really play a part in this situation, or that you could point a finger at, right? All of his babies were when he was married, okay? So he did the Lord proud, right? All praise to the Most, to the Most, right? He did everything right. But all of his children except one ended up dying. So, kind of sucks. But after it was, well, I'm gonna backtrack a little bit, and then we're gonna get into King Louis XV. Okay. Now, during the reign of King Louis XIV, another man who is said to have been affected by the curse was Nicolas Fouquet. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Could be wrong, but rolling with it. And he was the superintendent of the country's finances. He's the national treasury. I think that's what the national treasury does. See, I'm smart sometimes. Now, for a special occasion, Fouquet was allowed to wear the precious stone. He and the king, which is Louis XIV at the time, argued a short time later, and Fouquet was soon charged with maladministration. I had to sound that one out. I've never heard that word before, and when I typed it in to my notes and stuff like that, I just had to make sure I was saying it right. Of the state's funds, okay? Fouquet was then imprisoned at the fortress of Pignerol in 1664, where he stayed until his death in 1680. Another person said to have been affected by the curse of the blue diamond during King Louis XIV's reign was his chief mistress, Madame de Montespan. Whoa, that's trippy. With whom he had 7 children. His mistress, whose name was Francois Athenais de... We're just going to go Francois. I'm not going to sound this one out. We're just going Francois. And... Oh, whoa. Whoa. Francois was from one of the oldest noble families of France and grew up to marry French nobleman Louis-Henri de... We're just going to go Henry. I'm not going to sound this one out. And he is the Marquis of Montespan. The couple lived in a small house close to Louvois, which allowed Madame de Montespan to attend court often, where she quickly established herself as the quote-unquote reigning beauty of the court. She was also cultured and an amusing conversationalist. She was intelligent, big brain, and kept abreast of political events. The Marquis de Montespan first danced with King Louis XIV at a ball at the Louvois Palace and soon developed a romantic relationship. And by 1667, she was called by some the quote-unquote true queen of France due to her persuasiveness and influence at court. It's definitely not because she was just using her looks to get whatever the fuck she wants. She wasn't, you know, totally did not do that. That's okay. She was also known to openly disrespect Queen Maria Theresa in public. God damn, she's a bad bitch. She had no fucks. She had no fucks to give. But the king did not admonish her and was so enamored of her that she was painted holding the blue diamond of the crown. She also reputably wore the diamond several times in public. Now, due to the open royal, you know, shit that's going on right now, you know, not being loyal to one another, the Roman Catholic Church, they became upset and became like her adversary, is what I would say. And in 1675, a priest refused to give her absolution, which was necessary to take Easter communion, which was a requisite for all Catholics. Happy Easter. Late Easter. Like, I'm almost a week behind, okay? I'm sorry. I apologize. Fuck me, right? Okay? Don't get mad. I was sick. I couldn't help it. All right? I'm sorry. I didn't wish you guys a happy Easter on Easter, but it is what it is. Okay? Now, when this happened, the king appealed to the priest's superiors, but still the church refused to yield to the king's demands. And after this whole, like, debacle between, you know, her not getting Easter communion and, you know, King Louis trying to make an appeal to these priests, the pair stopped seeing each other. That's what I'm trying to say. For a brief period before they resumed their relationship. However, this relationship wouldn't last long. And in 1679, Montespan was accused of using witchcraft and aphrodisiacs to stay ahead of King Louis's other lovers. One of her accusers even alleged that Montespan performed black masses, which was a sacrilegious accusation that effectively destroyed Montespan's reputation. And being King Louis the, you know, King of France, he became very fearful of his reputation and he stopped seeing her publicly, but allegedly would discreetly see her until 1691 when he retired her to the Phyllis de Saint Joseph Covenant. And then she would eventually die in May of 1707 at the age of 66. And the king forbade her children to wear mourning for her. Whew. We're off to a terrible start, people. I told you it was coming. Now, I know I said that, you know, he didn't have a mistress or anything like that. Okay, I lied. All right. See, there's going to be a lot of backtracking here in a second. I made the mistake of not reading through some of my script to make sure everything was in order and try to memorize it. See, people, I'm going to give you a little knowledge, right? How I do this. So I write down a script, okay? I read the story and then I write down as I'm reading and I'm putting everything into my own words, basically, of what I'm going to say, right? Sometimes these episodes that I do are written out maybe a week or two in advance. Like this one's been written out for a while. I thought I could just come up here and wing it and be like, hey, booyah, bitch. No, that is, that's not what's happening. And I backtrack that part. All right. I take it back. He did. Maybe that's why his children did fucking die. He did have a mistress, right? He wasn't loyal. He was for the streets, okay? So I apologize for that. I apologize for that. Now we're going to go back into King Louis the 15th, okay? In 1715, King Louis the 15th took the throne at the age of 5. That's fucking crazy. Imagine, you know, I don't know if you have a 5-year-old brother, okay, but I don't think any of you guys are that young that you have a 5-year-old brother, but maybe you're like, I don't know, 20. Like my mom had me when she was 20, right? So like my mom right now, she's 43, okay? Maybe like, I don't know, when they were 38, your parents decided to have a kid. That'd be so weird. Like, I'm just thinking about that. Like, that'd be so weird. Like, if I was 20 years old and I had a 5-year-old brother, I don't know. Like, at that point, like, what do you do with him? Like, do you hang out with him like normal? Cause, well, you know what I mean. Not like you would with your 20-year-old friends. But, like, what do you do in that situation? That's fucking, I wouldn't know what to do. That's fucking wild. Okay, drink break. Time out. All right, I'm back. Well, that's weird. That's fucking weird. That's crazy. Okay, so let's get back to this now. All right. Now, when he took the throne at the age of 5, he wasn't able to be ruler quite yet, and it was ruled by Philip II, who was the Duke of Orleans. That's weird. Is that really Orleans? There's like no New Orleans. Okay, whatever. That's weird. Until he reached the age of 13, where he took over. When he took over as like the official king at 13, he was married. Eventually, 2 years later, when he was just 15, and him and his wife had 10 fucking children, but only 7 would live to to adulthood. He also had, like, get this. This dude could not keep his dick in his pants. He had a dozen, 12 illegitimate births, illegitimate children with women, right? And during his early years, King Louis XV was well regarded and earned the nickname Louis the Well Beloved. And when 1749 hit, the king had the blue diamond reset by court jeweler André Jacquemin in a piece of ceremonial jewelry for the Royal Order of the Golden Fleece. Now we get to the dark shit. Unfortunately, his political actions and stubborn personality would earn him the contempt of his subjects in the following years. His lack of strength during the Seven Years' War that lasted from 1756 and 1763 resulted in France losing nearly all of its colonial possessions in North America and in India. Now, during this time, he was also accused of damaging France's foreign relations and continuously overspending. Now, though King Louis XV had the second longest reign in the history of France, which was only exceeded by his predecessor and great-grandfather, King Louis XIV, historians generally give his reign very low marks because wars drained the treasury and his actions contributed to the decline of royal authority that led to the French Revolution in 1789. Louis XV ended up dying as a hated man in 1774, and the throne was succeeded by his grandson, King Louis XVI. A lot of fucking Louis. And that is where we're going to end this episode. End it right here, okay? I gave you a little bit of taste of the tragedy. Just a little bit, right? I didn't want to go too crazy and start, you know, death here, death there. No. We're saving that for next week. I know I'm edging you guys. I apologize, but there's a lot of fucking knowledge with this one, okay? And I'm gonna break it down, and then next week I'll do a little bit of a recap, just a tiny bit, just to make sure that you didn't forget anything, all right? So just remember, I don't know where I'm going with this. I had it in my head and I just lost it. I really did. Bro, my ADHD has been off the walls lately. It's been so fucking bad. So bad. This is why I kind of have to have, like, pieces of paper in front of me to, like, direct my thoughts. And if I don't have that, I'm off the fucking charts. Okay? And my notes weren't that good this time, so I'm kind of all over the place. But that's okay. That's okay. I hope it makes you guys laugh. That's all I really care about, is making sure that you guys are having a great day and that everything is going great in your life, okay? Now, what else do we got going on? Serial Killer Sunday coming up this Sunday. That is going to be, I don't know who it's going to be yet. Might do a black serial killer, or we might do a satanic white woman. I don't know. I kind of want to do the black serial killer, just because I don't believe we've had a black serial killer on this channel yet. We've had a racist one, but I don't think we've ever had a black one yet. I'm trying to think. I don't think so. I think they've all been white so far. Or just not black. Because from my research, that's all I really noticed is, like, especially in America, they're either white or black. And I will say this. Maybe I'll do them on Sunday, but who knows. I just want to say this. I looked up a list of, like, the 20 most notorious black serial killers in, like, U.S. history. There's a really, really weird thing, okay? So, like, let's take most of, like, our white serial killers, right? They're crazy. Off the wall. cannibalism, rape, dismemberment, yada, yada, yada. Just the worst of the worst. Like, just absolute batshit crazy things. Ransom notes, fucking, string you up and just let you, like, cut your stomach open, let you bleed all over the place, right? Like, crazy, off-the-wall shit. When I was looking at the 20, like, top 10 most notorious black serial killers in U.S. history, they're surprisingly, like, really, really mild. Okay, don't get mad at me. I'm saying mild as in, like, a serial killer sense. Okay, most of them were either rape, sexual assault, a little bit of murder, but the murders weren't like, you know, crazy aggressive, weren't like graphic or gory or in any way, you know, they just like maybe shot somebody like 10 times, stabbed somebody like 40 times, stuff like that. But then you just, I don't know, like, because I was really thinking about, I was like, have I ever like heard of a black serial killer, and I couldn't think of one off the top of my head, right? And I had to physically like search it and look and like really, really see. It was weird. Like, it they were all pretty much normal in a serial killer kind of way. They weren't like, there weren't any Jeffrey Dahmers, no Ed Geins, no Golden State Killer, the Golden State Killer, yeah, no Golden State Killer, no fuck. What's the dude's name? The Zodiac Killer. No Zodiac Killer. No BTK Killer. Nothing. Nothing to that level of terrifying. Right? It was just more of like the rape here, rape there, stab, 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 shoot, rape, stab, sexual assault, stuff like that. It was weird. I was, you know, I thought maybe there would be a few that are like maybe like Jeffrey Dahmer, Ed Gein, Zodiac, but there wasn't, and it kind of shocked me. So it's interesting, but yeah, I'm gonna leave it here. I went off on a little bit of a tangent, but that's okay. So I will see you guys possibly Saturday. If not Saturday, I will definitely see you guys Sunday. So I love y'all. Remember, I'm going to say I love you again. I don't know why I did that. But remember, stay frosty, stay foxy. Most importantly, the most important thing on this planet, stay safe, you beautiful peacocks. I love y'all. Deuces.